made was, well, that was fast. A lot of stuff real quick. And I've been praying about how I can deliver the message about discipleship so that it's not lost, because I only see me once, usually a month. And yet you have an understanding of the complete package, because discipleship is not just a one-time event. And on the way to services today, they're probably mad at me because I don't have this thing on. I decided that I would not try to put everything that I wanted to say today in the 40 minutes that I was scheduled to do. And so I was going to break it at an unnatural point, possibly. And he shared with me some other things that I need to talk about before I go any further, possibly in understanding the development of the disciple. And so as I go today, I'm going to change some things that I did not rehearse. I did not go over. These are things the Lord gave to me to put on my heart just this morning as I prayed about it. And so I'd like you to bear with me on that, but we will get you out of here because I have to take off and go to camp for a week. And I know that there's a special time after services for those who are going to stay around of eating and celebrating, so we'll move right into that. Being a disciple of Jesus, at my first slide. As I've done this series, for those who have not been with me when I with us as we've gone over this, the purpose is to understand what it takes to become and remain a disciple of Jesus. And I think it's found very importantly in this definition that we have come up with of what a disciple is. And in fact, if we can understand this definition, I think all these other areas will just kind of real fit together. And the definition goes like this. A disciple of Jesus is a Christian who is in the process of becoming more like Christ. What does that mean? Well, I've broken it down a little bit further here for you. A follower of Christ. That's the first thing. A follower of Christ. And what that means is that I'm going to follow the things that Christ gave me to do. If you are a follower of, let's say, there is a group or many groups out here that don't want us to kill animals for the making of materials or for the use of anything. And if you are a follower of that, and you're down protesting downtown Seattle that we've seen over the last 2 years here, you're not going to be wearing a Nike shoe. Because most Nike shoes, especially the ones they make, are made of leather. And leather comes from cows. And they have to kill the cow to get the leather, the skin. So, if you believe in that, you're not going to wear something that is made of an animal. And so you would consider yourself a follower of that. Same thing in Christ. If I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I'm going to do the things that Christ would want me to do. If he says, this is the way I act, if this is the character he wants in us, we're going to act like that in all that we do. We don't make exceptions. We would consider that person down there marching with things on them, let's say he's marching in a fur, to be a hypocrite of what they believe, of who they are. It really isn't them. We had a scripture this morning in our young people's class. In Hebrews, it says, this is the agreement I will make with them. At that time, says the Lord, I will put my teaching in their hearts and write them on their minds. I gave an illustration. Well, what is he talking about here? Well, let's say we're a sports player. In fact, specifically, we like soccer. If we are a soccer player, what are we going to do? We're going to play soccer, number one, right? Okay. And is soccer going to be what it's all about in our lives? We practice it. We watch it. We play it. In fact, it gets to the point where we know how to play soccer. We don't have to keep being told this is how you kick the ball. We don't have to be told this is how we play soccer anymore. Because soccer becomes who you are if you want to be good at soccer. And if I start throwing out soccer terms and you're a soccer player, you would know it. Yes, that's right. And you would know when you did something wrong that wasn't a soccer player and what a soccer player would do. Because that's who you are. It's in your mind, it's in your heart. He says here, Hebrews, that was Hebrews chapter, chapter 10. This is the agreement I'm going to make with them at this time, says the Lord. I will put my teachings in their hearts and I'll write them on your minds. We need to become Christians like soccer players are soccer players. We need to become Christians like that. In other words, it's in our hearts and our minds. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's what we think about. We want to become better, yes. We know when we're not being Christians. And we know what that means. Is that correct? If we're going to have it as part of a heart and mind, more definition, displaying His character, who Jesus is, what's His character? What's that all about? What was Jesus like when a sinner came and approached them? Somebody didn't look like everybody else. When somebody messed up and sinned, how did He approach that? When we had hypocrites, how did He approach that? Kind of, almost, you know, wait a second. People within His own ranks that weren't doing what was right. How was His character? Compassion for those who were lost, compassion for those who had the need. What was His character? What did He do? If you read the Gospels, you'll see over and over and over His character displayed there. Who He was, what He did. We have to know that. What is His character? Because the next part says, daily living out His values and disciplines and love. How do we live those out daily? Discipleship is not an event that happens in time when you're baptized. I'm sorry. The theology of once saved, always saved is not in the Scripture. It is a lifelong pursuit that we do. Yes, we have the assurance of salvation at that point of baptism, but we have to live out our lives in demonstration of what we believe. Back to the animal rights person. He isn't going to wear something. He isn't going to do something that's contrary to what he believes in their lives. Committed to a ministry of service to others. There's where it starts getting out of the self and into others. What was the last time you ministered to others? And is it a daily thing in your life as a disciple of Christ? I think the only time I saw Jesus in Scripture ministering to yourself, and we're going to get to this, is when He needed that alone time. If we get to that today, cool, maybe next week when it talks about abiding with me, being with me, as one of the characters that we were supposed to get to today, see if we get that. But that was the only time. Is when he needed to rejuvenate so he could serve others. He spent some time getting myself right, and then I can go and help those around. But this is a part of what I'm committed to. Actively pursuing his mission. And am I talking about Jesus' mission or about my own mission that Jesus gave me? Do you know your mission? What has Jesus put on your heart as a mission for you to be doing for him? We go through the motions a lot of times, but do we understand that? I'm going to talk a minute more about this. This is one of the things that's on my heart today. His mission is to make disciples of all nations. Are you clear about that? Go and make disciples of all nations. How are we involved in that mission? Seeking in everything to glorify the Father, and that's just going to come naturally, the praise of the Father. You remember 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, first they gave themselves... This life. First, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They had to get themselves in line first with what they needed to do before they could go and do anything else. If this wasn't taken care of first, and this doesn't come first, if it's not a change in the heart and the mind, the rest of the stuff is just, we're just walking through motions. Whether it be worship, the time we come together here to do together as a corporate body, Lord's Supper, learning from the classes and things being taught, daily study in His Word, prayer, fasting, the things that we've been talking about lately. We have to make sure we give ourselves to the Lord. Because discipleship is a process, a spiritual journey, not an event. Went to a seminar, it's been what, almost 2 weeks now, down in Portland. And I had an aha as I was sitting there. This was a seminar to help in the other job I work with. I work as a school teacher, and we're going through quite a change in the public school system because behavior is not the same as it used to be. When we grew up, we went to school, we lived in fear that if our parents found out we messed up, we would get a swat when we got home or whatever discipline our parents did. That doesn't happen anymore. There's no fear. In fact, the teachers were not my equal. They were superior to me. It didn't matter who they were in the school. That is all of that. We come in now, they're our equal. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's the way it is. And so we as teachers have a problem dealing with trying to discipline and manage kids who think that we are their equal. And so we've had to go a different route. And one of the things they talked about was motivation. How do you motivate these students? Go and do some things you want them to do. Learn, which is your primary goal there as an educator. How do you want them to get involved and to have to do learning? And the thing that was shared with me was this. They have to have value and expectancy in what they're doing to have motivation. Let me explain what that means. Value. It's the degree in which an individual values the reward that accompanies the success of the task. Do they value what they're doing? I did algebra. I didn't have to know that algebra is going to help me in this and this and this, and so I would value that. I just did it because the teacher told me to do it. But if I'm going to be successful today, if I'm a student, their attitude is, I got to value it. I got to want to have it. Okay? What's the value to me? In fact, look at our nation, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's it for me. That is, come into the church too. And we go to church often to get, what is it for me? What kind of value do I have here? Is it valuable for me to want to be here each week? What am I getting from that? Okay, that's not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what is happening in the churches today. Expectancy. It's the degree to which an individual expects to be successful at a given task. What is your expectancy about being a disciple? How successful do you expect to be on that? Math, let's go back to that analogy. How successful do I expect to be on that algebra problem? I've always hated algebra. I've never been good at algebra. I'm not going to be good now. That person doesn't have any expectancy that he's going to be successful. Doesn't see value in that. It's not going to help me. My mom doesn't use it. He's getting $20 an hour. So why should I learn it? Makes sense that we have to learn something like this as teachers to help motivate the kids to why this would be important. But then I applied that, and the aha came to me is when I was thinking about this with the church and discipleship, I'm going, you know, I've been sharing with them the last six or five times about what it means to become a disciple, and I've been giving them a lot of facts and a lot of information like the teachers would have when I was a kid. And I could respond to it and do whatever I wanted to do with that in my life. But I'm afraid we do not have motivation to move forward or enthusiasm to move forward as a body because we do not have value in what is being said or expectancy that we can do it. You see, if I have value, I gave my life to Christ, I love the Lord, I want Him to be Savior in my life. I have that value. That's awesome. But if you have no expectancy, you have no motivation. If you can't see yourself doing that, I mean, the elders have been talking the last two or three months about daily prayer, about Bible study, about fasting, some of the things that we need to be doing in our lives that are all aspects of what a disciple does. And how many of us go home and put that into practice? Last week we talked about what? Prayer. How many of us honestly went home and started a prayer that we didn't have before? Okay? Something that's daily in our lives. You see, we didn't expect that. Well, I don't have time. I can't do that. And so because we can't go and do that, or don't do that, we have no motivation, no enthusiasm to move forward as a disciple in Christ. And so we stay where we are in our level of discipleship, and we don't grow. That's a problem. There are some who say, I can do that, and I do that, but they have no value. They don't see value with being here. And if you don't have that value, I don't care how successful you are with your own prayer life and your own Bible study and knowing what's in the Scripture, then you're not going to have motivation and enthusiasm to move forward as a disciple either. So the question I have today, what can we do as the ministers and elders, leadership in the church, to help give you that motivation and enthusiasm to increase your value, to increase the expectancy? Have I determined specific things that I want to do to change, to make those changes that will motivate me to do, please? Okay? Do I have a vision? What's God's vision for me? How will discipleship benefit me? Is that a valuable thing that I want to do in my life? What do I need to do to change what I'm doing right now so that that can happen? And so I'd like to take a few minutes to just think about this and maybe from you make a list of the things that you need so that you can move forward. Does that make sense what I'm asking? What do we need so that when somebody comes up here and talks about this, we can actually do it? Talk about prayer. Do I need ways to talk to God written out already so that I can say, okay, this is how I address God? Maybe we have that situation. Maybe I don't know how to talk to God. Do I need some way to remind me that this is something that's important I'll do daily? Yes. Accountability. Okay? So if we have accountability, you have somebody that's going to, other than the preacher up here, tell you, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing this. Somebody in your life, you can be accountable. So that's interesting. I bet we could all nod our heads to that. If we had somebody that was accountable to us, or for us, we would move forward. Why don't you stop right now? Who in your life can hold you accountable for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next? Somebody, you can do it. You got a friend? Anybody got a friend? Can you say to your friend, I need your help, I'd like to pray daily, can you help me? Or is that too embarrassing? If it's embarrassing to ask your friend that, then I doubt that they're really your friend. Is there somebody going to hold me accountable? We have a time around our dinner that we read the Scripture. And sometimes I just quickly eat because I'm in a hurry and I'm doing something. I want to move on. So I can get back to that. My accountable partner says, wait a second, we haven't read the Scripture yet tonight. I need that. I have a discipline. That's going to be what we're going to do every single time. Okay? So, accountability. Awesome. Your question, the question is now, I can't say you're going to be accountable for you because I don't know that relationship. Can you have somebody? Maybe write them down. There's like little pencils in up here. Write them down. I'm going to talk to that person afterwards because I need somebody who's going to be accountable to help me with prayer. Whatever else. Whether it be Bible reading. Coming to services. Same passage I read earlier. It says, do not continue to miss the services. Things come together. But instead, encourage each other to be there. So that you can grow.
You need that accountable. You need that accountability.
Good.
Oh, that's awesome. I can go on all day on that one. Okay, we'll go. That's all I hand here. Something else. This talk one, I mean, repeat what she said. I'll put it in the phrase and tell me if I missed it. We need somebody that will not only keep us accountable, but will help us look at our lives and determine if what we're doing is doing the right thing or what we need to do to improve on. That's a tough one. Because no one wants to be told you're doing it wrong. Kids I work with at school, they don't want to hear that you're doing it wrong. They want me to let them know how they're doing it right. Even if it's wrong. They might think that A plus B equals, you know, Z. And that, no, it's wrong. It's, you know, we got to do something else. But they want to hear the right thing to do, okay? So that you know, that's, if you were encouraged by your teachers at school, you'd probably be better in math, wouldn't you? Yeah, hopefully. I know I would. So let's talk about that just a second. Can we find somebody in our lives who not only will help us keep accountable, that was the easy one. Now that somebody will actually give me helpful criticism that won't put me down, but will give me the things I need to go in the right direction. I'm going to tell you right now, husbands and wives, if you've got the right relationship before God, that's a perfect person. Because they know you better than anybody else right now. Okay, so it's very important that you start thinking about that. But you've got to be humble enough to take that. Because we've got some relationships that right now, in sitting here, they can't take that. They don't want their wife telling them what to do. They don't want their husbands telling them where they're messing up. So how can we move forward so that we give positive but helpful critiques about how we're moving in a relationship? That has to come from the individual. Now, let me tell you something right away. Us guys are really good at this. We like to help fix. Okay? You need to first be willing to accept it. So don't go home right now and tell your wives how to do things, gentlemen. Let them come to you. Honey, I have some things. What do I need to prove on? Give me one thing this week. Let me tell you, let's start with this one. Don't list out 20 that I have to work on. So that gets overwhelming. One thing. Let's get to that. That's right. Keep it simple. The one thing. So, honey, can you name one thing that you think I can work better on, improve on, and will you help me do that? It's got to come from the individual asking. Okay, you can't say, honey, I see there's something you need to work on. Okay, well, we're going to get out of line with that. Okay, so we can start with that, but we have to decide. Okay, that's what we're going to do. If we got friendships, again, that's another way we can do accountability. Part. Name one area where you think I can do better on, but you have to be ready for that. Okay, so it's a tough one, because we don't like to hear it. Okay? See a couple hands right in the back. Judy. Okay. Okay. Okay, can I comment so everybody can hear? She's making a statement about how she prays. And there are formal prayers and there are informal prayers. And she's real good at informal prayers is what I'm hearing. Not so good at the formal type. And that's okay. What we're trying to establish is a communication here. Doesn't matter necessarily here. But here, and that the communication. Now, since you're good at that, okay, I would hope that Carl or somebody in your family would hear that
and say, can you help me if they're struggling with that? Can you help me? Because I want to be good with that, or whatever your specialty is. Okay, and that's good. Yes, I want to reiterate what she said. Don't go home and tell them what to do. And that's what I'm saying. You can't do that. They have to want the input. And so what I'm saying is, or what was set up here is, if you want to move forward, it's always helpful if you've got a different outside perspective. Because a lot of times we don't see the things that we're messing up on. But that has to be something to come from us. They have to be willing to be humble enough to say, okay, one thing I would like to improve on it. Work on it for a month or two until you overcome that, or until you be successful. Then move on that, you know, those other one or two things. Yes. Okay. He says visual record, we see at school, there's a visual record of how your growth is. Okay. So let's think about that. How can we develop a visual record that we could keep of that growth? What we're trying to do. One way would be to write down the goal that you want to accomplish. Your teacher does that for you at school. I want them to be able to do this, this, and this. They know what they're heading for. When they accomplish it, they say, yeah. Our own individual, we've got to sit down and say, okay, I want to be successful in this, or I want to be able to do this, this, and this. Put that in your Bible. Put that in someplace. If you're going to come back to it, month, 6 months, year, whatever is necessary in that, you can come back to it. Awesome. That's where I've grown. This is now where I need to go. Let's make another one. So that's very good. Keeping a record of where you want to grow and your growth. That will help you move forward and grow. Yes? Okay, she said two things. I'm gonna say it to the screen here in the back and the recording. Number one is she realizes that God's word is truth, and that's the only thing that's gonna get us through. We've got to get this, dust it off, and off that shelf where it's stored and being used. It should look like this, where you've got tape holding it together, because you got into it too much. That's not no so much I'm into this one too much. It's just a bad maker on this one. But we need to see the worn. Got to get into it. Got to know where it's there. You're a soccer player. Let's go back to that. You're going to go get and find out the rules. You're going to get in and find out what you need to do to be better. And so you're going to read that stuff and you're going to find out what it is. If you don't know what it is, you can't be a good soccer player. Same thing in here. You got to get in and find out what it is. So that's number one. Number two, she says she's got a second book that she's made up, and she writes down blessings that God gives her. And she says that book continues to grow. Every time she has a blessing, she writes it down. Okay? So those are some good things. Realizing that discipleship is something that goes over time, there is some stages of spiritual growth in our life. Let's look at the next slide. The next slide here talks about four stages of spiritual growth. We've got to build, we've got to equip. If we don't do those first two, we're never going to get to the stage where we're winning and multiplying others in our discipleship. We've got to work on the building and equipping. Once those things can get established, then the win and the multiplying is going to be there. God measures success by changed lives and leaders that are producing them. And that's what we want to do. Can you go ahead and show the Ephesians 4:11-13? He says, He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. It's our job, my job, the elder's job, Don's job, to equip the saints for the work of service. Now, you've been hearing a lot about the things that we need to be doing in our lives. We come back to the teacher that I introduced. How do I motivate my students?
how do the elders and the teachers here motivate us to apply what they're equipping us with? It all comes down to us. What do we do? Okay? Do we feel we can move forward? Do we have the tools? Do we have the motivation to move forward? Because this is happening. We're just not translating it into work. Okay? You're hearing things that we've got to do individually. Not one of those so far came back to the preacher and saying, you've got to come over to my house and have a study with me. Because that should not have to happen. Okay? Until we, and this is a continual process, all attained, we got some work if we're not all there, the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to Christ. Now you can certainly see where I got the definition of disciple. Yeah, I'm not going to give you too many things. You had how... You had one, two, three, four, I say five, four or five things right there you can go ahead and work with. Now, I'm coming back, if not next time I preach the following, which should be the summary of this, and I'm going to give you one more other piece, but I want you to work on this. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks until I speak again, I'll come back and ask how's it going on these specific things. Make sure I get it out here. Let's go to this review. We have accountability. We have... ask for feedback. And with those, we got to make sure we're not telling people, giving feedback. Okay, this is asked for. That's very important. Okay. We had read the Word, because that's the only place you're going to find truth. And, you know, accountability can happen there, too. How am I going to get somebody to help me read the Word, you say? And... the second one there was make a list of where God is making blessings in my life, where I see blessings, where God is blessing me. Okay, and that's an encourager all in itself. You go back and read that and say, cool, look what God's done, and watch yourself grow. And then with that, it was what you were saying, we need to write out a goal or a plan, make it simple, keep it simple, and check on it in a month or two. So you've got 5 things here now you can go back and try out. And next month I'll come back, first thing I'm going to ask you is, how are you doing with these things? Is this helping? Now, what I'm trying to do up here in this discipleship is show you the phases of discipleship and how that works together. So if you're at one phase in discipleship, you can say, okay, I need to keep growing. Because I don't think any of us have gotten to this. A mature man like the Son of Christ, to the fullness of Christ. I'm not there. Paul says, I have not attained it yet. I keep pressing for the goal. And Paul, a lot better than anything I'm going to ever do. Okay? So, what do I need to do to keep moving forward in my life as a disciple in Christ? Say yes. Yes. That's correct. And that's exactly what Judy was saying. Yeah. Okay. Let me repeat it so they can hear. He's talking specifically about we've got to make this accountability to Christ. It needs to be a personal relationship between you and Christ. He's right on. He's right on. And we need to keep looking at that, because it doesn't matter what the others view me as, because that's what often gets in our way about how I view the other people think about me or perceive me. The relationship's between you and Christ. Now, you have brothers and sisters within the family, though, that can help you when you're ready for their help. That can help you, as the, you know, some of you are saying, to keep you also accountable here. We want to get to the point where our accountability is with Christ, because that's where the Scripture says it's in our heart and in our mind. I don't know how I'm going to need to tell you, you need to be here at services to receive the Lord's Supper each week. That should be something that says, that's in my heart and I want to do that. That's who I am. Because I am a Christian who is in Christ. Just like I was a soccer player, that's who I am. I don't need a son of a soccer player to keep me accountable if I want to be a good soccer player. You know, so we've got that. But I may at times need to be able to practice and be with to help me improve my game. Because there may be a point in my life where I don't know where I'm going anymore. I don't know. I'm not there yet, and I need to keep growing. So that's important to realize that I want to get it so my relationship's with God, and I'm doing it on my own, because that's what it's all about. You have to answer to God. I don't answer for you guys. Well, I do because you're the leader. But, we don't answer for our brother necessarily. Now, there's Scripture that says we need to help our brothers. There's Scripture that says the leaders and teachers are more going to be accountable for what happens. But, as an individual, I'm not going to, if he goes and decides that that's what he's going to do, there's not anything I can do because that's his relationship. And that's what's so important. When I work with young people, I share that with them. Your religion is no longer your parents, though. You have to reach out and it has to become who you are. Okay? And if I'm going to be a disciple of his, that's very important. I'm out of time, so what I'm going to do next is I'm going to review those first two stages of discipleship, because a lot of us are in these stages. And this will give us something to shoot for. Maybe you'll see something here and say, oh, I need to do that more in my life. Maybe that's the one thing I want to work on over this next month, okay? So we're going to do that. See, go ahead and go forward. As a reminder, one more. That was a good slide. We'll have to come back to that. One more. Sorry. There we go. Remember, Jesus modeled discipleship in four stages. His first approximate 3 months of his life, he talked, come and see what was going on. That's when he had the huge crowds. Remember that? Was it 400 or 4,000, he said? It was 5,000 one time. He said it twice. 4,000, 5,000. So he was feeding thousands. Okay? So that was the first part of his ministry. Come and check out what's happening. Did people come and check it out? Did they check it out? Sure they did, because there's something exciting there. And so that's a lot of us are. Is this, okay, what can he do for me? So come and see, check out this Jesus. And so often many people are in that stage where I'm checking it out, I'm seeing where they are. And when you're working with, trying to disciple somebody else, they may be in the stage. Check this out. We're going to see in a second some of those indicators of that stage. And then there's the follow me, where you actually make that commitment to be a follower of Christ. I am actually going to be his disciple. I've made the choice in my life, no one else has made it for me, that I want to make him my Savior and Lord. And so we have some indicators of a person in that stage. This is where I wanted to go today, but we're not going to get there. Okay, be with me be with me, do the things that I'm doing. So that's where we start to make it more personal, other than just the master teacher, but more that relationship we want to keep growing in. That's a neat part of this relationship. And then the remaining me is this lifetime thing, realizing that this is something I'm going to continue to grow at, that last scripture that says until we attain the perfection of fullness of Christ. So this is where we go. Let's quickly take a look at come and see as a review of what we've seen before. Next slide. Oh, this is how it looks in church. Go one more slide. It's on a timer, so it's just... Those are a neat one. We'll come back to that next time. Okay, go. One more. There it is. Okay, these are the indicators at that phase. Come and see. We respond to Jesus' invitation to begin to get to know him. A person's interested in Jesus and spiritual things. Okay, you may have friends that way. You may be at that point. Maybe you haven't even liked it yet. Right. Begin developing friendships with fellow believers. And you'll see that. This is almost a pattern you see. They start hanging out with believers. Spend social and unstructured time around disciple makers. Jesus, in his early ministry, spent a lot of time with those who were not followers of God. His unstructured time, and so that they can start to see the passion and the zeal of who he was. Okay? She's the disciple maker involved in ministry and sharing the gospel. So they're actually seeing this is what's happening. This is who we are. Okay? Next.
Oh, it's already there. Believes in the basic inspiration of the Bible and begins to put it into practice. We have to understand the Bible is truth. It's going to be the only thing that's there. Tomorrow is going to be having a fun with the children at the camp. You're going to spend a day about God is alive in the creation and seeing how powerful, in the next 2 days, how powerful that Bible is and how that it's the only truth and thing out there. Okay, we're going to deal with that. Believes that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, learns to trust Jesus' clear statements, even if they're miraculous and life-changing. And, amen on that. Confesses Jesus as Lord and believe in Him. When you do that, you're going to obey Him. Your life is going to start emulating who Christ is. You're going to start to understand the command to be born again, repent of your sins, and be born again, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and receive the Holy Spirit, and then call for Jesus for help as you're being immersed and washed away your sins. And then you begin to participate in the acts of worship, or the things like the Lord's Supper and fellowship and singing and prayer as a corporate body. You come together as a family and do that. Next. And then a couple more things you see here. Realizes there are some truths that you're not going to understand until later. There's some things I keep finding that I didn't realize when I was first became a Christian. And I continue to grow. And there's things I don't know now that maybe God will reveal to me as I grow in Him. Tell his or her testimony to others because you're excited about what God is doing for you and inviting others to know and learn about Jesus. That's that first stage we see a disciple. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're there. You've done that. You recognize it. So as you work with others, you'll see that. The next thing is follow me. Next slide. Here's some indicators here. He has learned the importance of submission to Jesus, God, and desires to do without question. That's the tough stuff. We start in submission and do without question. But, get rid of the word but in our lives. Okay? It's got to get rid of that. It's beginning to recognize God at work and its importance in their life and the lives around them. This is God working. This is something important. It's not what I want anymore. It's what God wants. That's tough one to always recognize. Next. Is by the Spirit's enablement able to withstand hardships and opposition. Things I couldn't do before, I didn't have the muster to do, God's going to help me through. Whether maybe I have a change in lifestyle. Maybe I have a change in friends because I'm going to need new friends. Maybe I have a change in the things I do and how I do things. Maybe I have to give up something that's been hurting me. You see, with the power of the Holy Spirit, now we now have that enablement to move forward. The Holy Spirit is going to help you move forward in these five things that you mentioned that we could do individually. Is like the teacher, is modeling his or her life after Christ the teacher. You've got to constantly know what the teacher is. As it was said earlier, you've got to look in the Scripture and find out what is the teacher like so that you can become his character. Next. Has learned that hearing must be followed by doing. You can't just listen to the sermon, you've got to act upon it. And I guess that's where I was today. I was feeling often that we as a whole, you're hearing the message, but are we acting as whole? Are we doing something about it in each of our lives as we're going? And also we saw that there's counted the cost of following Christ. We have to figure out what the cost is before we're going. There is a cost. It's not free in that sense. God's going to ask you to do something you probably never did before. Can identify or has identified and is using his or her spiritual gifts. What has God given me to do? How am I exploring that option of ministry in my life? He is committed to love and to serve Christ before family, home, and possession. That's a tough one. You're going to start to see things in this one that are a little bit tougher than the last one. Are you willing to put him first? You have to have that in your life. If you're going to be his disciple. Understands forgiveness of others is connected with our own. Learns the importance of fasting. So I learned that 2 weeks ago. My dad shared with that. There's some work I need to do on that in my life, so I'm going to work on that. What are some things I need to do about fasting and how's that in connection to not just losing weight, not just getting my body pure, but a spiritual connection with God. Knows the difference between sin, worldliness, and godliness. We have to be able to be clear. You made a good point. I know what's right and wrong. But there'll be times in our lives we may come to a point where that's a gray area. We're not sure anymore. I've been struggling with one now for a year. My wife knows about it.
what is it? You know, it's something that we do, and it has to do with witchery. Our society is filled with it. Our biggest entertainer, Disney, for children, is full of it. And where do we draw the line in there, according to God? We have to figure that out. That's a tough one. Lately, a bunch of movies coming out with good witches. That's something that we should be involved with. Those are things that we have to question. So as we mature, we start seeing things, but we're going to have to know the difference between what is sin, what is worldliness. This is okay in the world. It's a fine thing to do, but is it what God wants me to do? So those are all questions we have to start asking ourselves. This is a tough one as we move forward. Believes in the sacredness of marriage. Marriage is what God has designed. A husband and a wife, just like we saw in the garden. Okay? Husband and a wife, man and woman together. Okay, that's very, very important in understanding that sacredness of that. Prays for and has a vision of being instrumental in reaching others for Christ. When was the last time you prayed that you would be instrumental in reaching someone for Christ? Okay? That's a part of a disciple in this stage, or we want to do that. Okay? Is learning the importance of developing godly character over the mere external observances of God's command. That's something interesting. So I come here to worship. What's the purpose behind that? He's looking at the heart condition, not the outward appearance that I'm here. Seeks to learn even when the lessons are difficult. They're often very difficult. Grows and produces fruit. How? Well, he's habitual in spiritual fundamental activities like worship, like Bible study, like Scripture, like memory of Scripture, prayer and fellowship, partaking of communion, evangelism, stewardship of time, talent, and money. Those are all things, basic things that the leadership's been sharing. We now have to learn to produce those, and those become habits. He's ready to train others in these basic habits. So not only do we get them down, we start helping others. And I think this is real good. Accountability group. We talk about accountability today. I wish we had more. We do it with our high school small groups that we try to do throughout the year. Get some accountability there. That's the purpose of why they were set up. Spend social time with unbelievers who need exposure to believers. Possess deep love for God and others is grounded in basic Bible doctrine. We talked about this last time. Things like salvation, heaven, hell, Godhead, church, resurrection, holiness of life, evidences. Those should be, we know, we got those down at this stage. We understand what they are, and we can teach others about them. We don't have to keep being told about them. Lives as though Christ could be returning in a minute and understands the basic Christian liberties, and that was the one in Romans, which I don't think we've got down yet. We'll have to spend some more time on that. These were the examples of the first two, and most of us fall in there. As you can see, there's a lot of things that are there that we need to work on. I'm also going to give you these sheets worked out by the time I'm done, where you have them right next to each other, and you say, okay, this is where I need to move in my life. Two more we're going to work with. Be with me and remain in me. You say, well, how can you be more than that? Well, there's a lot of neat things as we grow in Christ where we need to mature and grow as Christians, and we're going to work with that later. But reminder, as I conclude, the facing come forward. Pick one of these. Do I need accountability to help me? Okay? Help me in one of these basics. Do I need to ask somebody else for feedback on how am I doing in this so that I can improve? Do I need to read the Word more, understand that that is the truth, I need to get that off the shelf and use that more daily in my life and understand what's in there. Do I need to make a list of the blessings to see how God has been working in my life? That's something I could do. And then maybe I need to write out a goal or a plan. This is where I want to move forward. This is some things. I just shared with you probably 30 things here that we need to improve on as we move forward, making sure that's in our lives as disciples. Where are we? Is Christ glorified in our lives as disciples before Him? If you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Christ, I challenge you to come forward and get things right, start learning, start moving in the direction. If you're here today and you want to keep moving forward, you want to take on the challenge, I challenge you to go do that. I'll ask you in a month when I come back and I say, okay, how are we doing in this? Has that been helpful? We want to make sure that God's Word is in our hearts and in our mind, not something that sits over here. Remember the old law? The old law, it was not on their hearts, it was not on their minds. Christ says, I come to let it be there so that you have that relationship with me. This morning as we stand and sing, in my life, Lord, be glorified.
Let's make that commitment to Him today.